We're back with more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. Earlier this month, the United Performing Arts Fund kicked off its 2019 campaign to raise millions of dollars for many of the region's largest performing arts groups. Every year, the campaign is kicked off with a special guest who has some tie or ties to the area's performing arts community, whether they got their start here or played a significant role in a performance here.
This year, Brookfield native Emily Schoen returned to the area to participate in the kickoff. Schoen graduated from Brookfield Central High School and is now a New York City-based dancer, choreographer, and teacher. Her range is impressive. She's performed with the Metropolitan Opera Company, the Rolling Stones 50th Anniversary Tour, and with her own group, Schoen Movement Company.
She's also a prolific choreographer and has participated in the State Department's Cultural Diplomacy Program. She's currently working on a piece to be performed in breweries. Schoen stopped by the Lake Effect Studio while she was in town for the UPAF kickoff, and she explained why she felt it was important to come back for the event.
I spent the first 18 years of my life here in the Milwaukee area, learning dance and learning to appreciate art. And I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't do that. So it's a treat to be back and lend a small helping hand in continuing to promote arts locally.
Well, particularly the performing arts, you know, because that's, of course, what UPAF focuses on. I think a lot of times dance gets forgotten in that equation. You know, we hear about music, we hear about theater, opera, but dance is also a performing art, and it sometimes feels like the redheaded stepchild of the performing arts.
So funny you said that. I was going to bring up the redheaded stepchild saying too, and it's funny because I'm redheaded. But it's true. Yeah, dance sometimes gets forgotten, but I think it's one of the more innate art forms. You know, you see kids and young toddlers listen to music and they can't help but move. And so it's, I think, a really unifying art form across all of humanity.
Were you one of those kids?
Of course.
Yeah. So what attracted you to, I don't know if I could safely say you're a modern dancer. You're certainly not a ballet, although you probably have ballet training.
I have ballet training. And yes, I am a modern dancer. I do consider myself a modern dancer.
So what attracted you to that particular part of the dance world?
Oh, it's a good question. Well, I grew up dancing at a studio called Accent on Dance in Waukesha. And I got a little bit of modern there, but it was when I got to college that I really dove into the modern craft. And I think it suited me because it's very physical and there's a lot of range within modern. You know, you dance barefoot typically. Nowadays, sometimes you dance in socks, but it's very grounded. It's a art form where you travel through space a lot. So you can be very physical and you can also present dramatic range too when you're performing.
One of the things I love about modern is that it gives women the opportunity to be muscular and physical and explosive across the stage, where you don't see that necessarily in ballet. You know, the gender lines are very strictly divided there. And I love how modern in its all of its forms sort of bends that.
It's so true. Even when it comes to partnering work in modern, women partner women, men partner men. You're right, the gender lines aren't as strong. And I think that's fun. I think it's fun to explore different relationships in movement, different relationships of weight sharing. And yeah, it's, you can be a little bit more kind of nitty gritty and a little bit more animalistic, I think, in the modern world, just by the nature of being a little lower to the ground, barefoot.
Right, barefoot and not in point shoes.
Yes.
And not constrained by certain, you know, well, 150 years worth of craft and things passed down,
right,
which I think makes a huge difference. I was looking at your resume, and you danced with one of my favorite choreographers, Mark Morris.
Oh, yeah.
I loved watching. Yeah. I used to, many years ago, work as a techie in a roadhouse back on the East Coast, and they had a lot of dance troupes come through, and Mark Morris was a regular. It was like every year the company would come through, and I just thought it was so, I don't know, intimate and, as you say, grounded and animalistic, and it was so expressive and beautiful,
yeah,
as well as difficult.
For sure. And one thing I love about Mark Morris's work is that he's just a musical mastermind. He knows the scores as well as the people who made the scores, it seems like. So when I danced in his piece, it was actually at the Metropolitan Opera in New York, which was a beautiful facility and a venue to work for, because it's not just about dance. That was one thing I loved working there. It's about the larger production, all these operas, these major operas, huge costumes and sets, and all the seats in the house have subtitles so people can understand what the singers are saying in many different languages. So I danced in his opera, Orfeo ed Euridice. And that's where I got to know his work a little bit more intimately.
Yeah, the Met.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's like, talk about bringing all of the performing arts into one thing.
Yeah, my first rehearsal, my first stage rehearsal in that opera, actually, I remember sitting down watching the chorus. And this particular production had a very large chorus. I think it was like around 100 people. And just hearing them in person, you know, we were sitting 20 feet away while they rehearsed a particular section, I just started crying, because it was just the power of these voices from singers who are world class. You know, if you're an opera singer and you belong to the Met Opera in New York, you're doing just fine. You know?
Yeah, I was gonna say, even the chorus members are world class.
Oh, yes.
You know, you're not just because you're not singing a lead doesn't mean that you're not fabulous. Well, and I think that's the power of the performing arts, is that it can reduce you to tears, to laughter, to just, you know, huge heart opening moments in your life. You must take all of that when you create your own work, because you're a choreographer as well as a dancer. So you're creating and thinking about all of these things as well for your own pieces.
It's very true. You know, when I'm creatively engaged, when I'm dancing or when I'm choreographing or even seeing other performances, I think just the best version of myself. You know, I'm happy and I'm grounded and I'm centered and I engage well with others. I play well with friends. It's just, it brings out the best in me, and I think that makes all aspects of my life and my relationships better too. I totally agree with you. I think that's what the arts provide. It provides this, you know, well-rounded, kind of three-dimensional life experience.
Well, you said it, I think, a little while ago, where you say it's like the best part of you, the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
I think it does that for all of us. You know, it makes us the best people we can be in any given moment.
I think so, too. I find a lightening of my spirit. You know, if I've been behind the computer doing administrative work for my company for a while and I get back in the studio or back in my creative process, it's just a different world. And it's a great world to be part of. I feel so lucky that, you know, I have the arts and I'm able to pursue the arts. I don't know that I would be as happy or dynamic an individual if I had a normal desk job.
When you start thinking about a new dance, mm-hmm. what are the kind of sparks that will make you think, oh, I have to turn this into a piece?
That's a great question. Well, the current project that I'm doing with my company is a big one. I danced for about 8 years for an established modern dance company called Kegwin & Company. And back in 2017, we went on a really special tour. It was sponsored by the U.S. State Department and facilitated by a group in New York called Dance Motion USA, which is affiliated with the Brooklyn Academy of Music. And it was a tour to three countries in Africa. And the tour was great because the mission was quite simply cultural diplomacy, person-to-person cultural diplomacy. So the U.S. State Department had a grant where they would send out American artists on unique world tours to basically just be themselves and interact with as many people as possible. So people in other countries got to meet real Americans and not just the celebrities or not just the politicians they see on TV, and to make real connections with these, you know, normal people.
And you performed as well.
Yeah. So it was the three countries, went to Cote d'Ivoire, Ethiopia, and Tunisia. And in each area, we would perform and then also create dance with local groups and learn a little bit of their dance forms as well. And so when we got to Tunisia, it was a beautiful surprise that there actually is a professional dance scene there. surprise. Like, who knows that? We didn't. You know, it's a small professional modern scene. There's, you know, under 100 professional dancers, but they're there and they're talented and they create in a vein not crazily different from, you know, what we do in New York. So the other thing that was pretty serendipitous about that tour is that we had a foreign affairs officer who has a background in dance, surprisingly. You know, she, I think, studied international affairs and dance in college, and she went right into the Foreign Service and took a sabbatical at one point for a year to gig in New York. So she knew that I had my own company, you know, outside of Kegwin and Company, and she said, you know, if you are thinking about coming back, if you want to explore this relationship more, I can send you some links to these grants that are the U.S. Embassy in Tunis offers. And so I kind of scrambled filling out some of these grant forms, and we secured enough funds to go back 6 months later with my company. So long story short, that was 2017. Now we're in 2019, and we've secured artists or visas for the artists to now come to New York and to continue our collaboration. So we have an evening-length show in May with these, you know, with this international cast.
How fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, that is just a wonderful story of how diplomacy and the arts can work together. You
Absolutely.
Know? I mean, when you were a little kid in Brookfield, did you ever think that you would be bringing artists from Tunisia to New York to work on this huge collaboration?
Never. Never in a million years. It's yeah. just like one of those things that you can't even imagine, right? I didn't even really know where Tunisia was before this tour came around, you know, came to my table. It's just this beautiful country. It's like sits on the Mediterranean Sea. It's the most northern tip of Africa. And I feel so lucky that this strange and special collaboration has come about.
Well, you have to send us pictures and post video. Are you going to be doing all of that, like live tweeting or any of that?
Yeah, we're doing all the social media stuff.
Good.
It's a big deal for us. For
yeah,
sure.
How fantastic.
Yeah. So I guess back to your question, in this case, it was a very practical spark when I met these dancers and was thinking about what's next for my company, what would be a cool project to pursue. And I was like, well, this might be an opportunity to try something different, to dive in with these people who, some of whom I don't even speak the same language as, you know, dive in with movement. And we took it from there.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I'm getting chills. It's just, what a wonderful collaboration. And that's, that cultural diplomacy is just so important.
It really is.
Yeah.
Really is. We have the technology these days with, you know, not just digitally, but with air travel, the world is a much smaller place. And I think it's so important for us to be reminded that people everywhere are people, first and foremost. You know, we might have different politics, different religion, different whatever it is. But at the end of the day, we all inherently kind of want the same things.
Yeah. And one of those things is to move.
For sure.
So while you're here, what are your duties as the special guest for UPAV?
Yeah, well, it's a blessing to be able to kind of speak about the organizations that have helped me, especially when I was young and growing as an artist when I lived here in my childhood. And then, you know, I'm helping at the UPAV launch for their campaign, which is happening now through June. And UPAV is an awesome organization that's a you know, single point of giving locally. So if you're interested in supporting the arts, it's cool because you can trust UPAV to take your dollars and use them responsibly and divvy them out amongst the community where needed. So it's cool to be part of UPAV, too, for this event.
Well, I hope at some point you'll bring your company back here so we can all see. A lot of us aren't going to be able to get out to New York.
I know. It's true. Well, there's this other thing I'm doing this year later, which is basically a brewery tour. So I lived in Long Island City in Queens for a couple years. And during that time, there was a local brewery that I loved. You know, I'd drop in there once in a while and, you know, fill a growler to take home. And you know, I thought, well, this is such a great little community joint. Why don't we try to incorporate some dance here? And I talked to them about maybe putting up a dance show in their brewery. And they're an awesomely, you know, open-minded brewery called Rockaway Brewery in Long Island City. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. So we created a show for their space. And their space was small, had many different rooms. And so it was a bunch of tiny little dances sprinkled throughout the venue. And the show had lots of breaks so people could get drinks. And we had a pop-up food vendor on site. It was a happy hour show. You know, the idea was, sometimes it's hard to get people to come to a dance show for whatever reason. So why don't we bring dance to the people? And we're not going to dumb it down. We're not going to simplify it. We're just going to do what we do, but break it up and adapt it in a way that encourages eating and drinking and things that people are going to do otherwise. So anyways, we had the show. We did it at Brooklyn Brewery as well. And then in the fall, we're taking it on the road. So we have three confirmed venues, one in Philadelphia, one in Santa Fe, and one in California. And, you know, there's such a great brewery culture here in Milwaukee. I've been dreaming of bringing it here, too. So who knows? There might be a chance in the future.
I think that has to happen. So any brewers or breweries listening, you know, get in touch.
Yeah, for sure.
Get in touch. So, well, Emily, I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking with us. Best of luck launching the UPAF campaign for 2019, but also best of luck with all of your creative endeavors. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Emily Schoen is a Brookfield native. She's now a New York-based dancer, choreographer, and teacher, and one of Dance Magazine's top 25 to watch artists. She was back in town to help with the kickoff of this year's UPAF fundraising campaign. You can find links to more about her and about UPAF at wuwm.com.